If you've got your Bibles, you might want to look up Acts and chapter 11. And I'm going to start reading at verse 19. And just as a bit of a background, you may remember that at this point, the disciples are starting to spread out. They're going to various places. And we just pick up the story in what we would call Syria, Turkey these days. Now those who'd been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. I do like all of the stories of the Bible, but actually, funnily enough, in the mornings at the moment, I'm reading Acts as my daily devotion. And I've just got past this piece. It's an interesting part. I'm not going to preach verse for verse, which I do sometimes. I'm going to use this more as a jumping off point to look at the whole aspect of mission. And what does it mean to be missional? Let me just put my notes in the right places. I'm not often good at keeping track with my PowerPoints because they're often behind me. So let me ask the question and keep this one in your mind as I carry on. What is it? Might it mean to be missional? Maybe it depends on our situation. I think, more importantly, it depends upon what God's plan and heart is for the area in which we live and do our activities. His heart for the people. One evangelist, which I'm sure the saying is well known, says we should seek what God is doing and join him in it. So what does mission mean? If some of you know your history, you'll know that in 1792, that's a good date for you, William Carey went as the first British Baptist missionary to India. God had laid on his heart a desire to reach out to that continent with the good news. That was his mission. He started schools, he translated the Bible, he made it more accessible, and opened a Christian theological college in Serampore. One type of mission, going a long way. Coming back to the UK, William Booth, in the 1800s, the founder of the Salvation Army, had a heart for mission. But this time, in the impoverished streets of the United Kingdom, he started the army. The people worked in the streets. They saw the deprivation. They saw the drunkenness that was going on. And they worked amongst it. They brought the good news to all that they could, and tried to meet the needs of those that they found. And then there are other Christians. Again, if you know your history, you'll know that the 1800s were a great time for raising up education. The church which I was in, the minister of for 12 years in Harlow, had two quite well-known people in the area. In the 1800s, due to one of them having money and one of them having a lot of energy, Mr. Forbert had the money, Mr. Barnard had the energy, they set up schools. And in the good Baptist tradition, they took the view, which was actually unusual at the time, that all children from all families should be able to be educated, not just those who went to the local church and therefore the church school. And so they were set up as non-denominational schools. And the church in Harlow still has close contacts with one of those. Another type of mission, looking at social care, looking at what people need. One of my friends, in fact, my prayer partner when I was at Spurgeon's, who we've stayed in touch with each other over the years, gave up being a minister in a church a couple of years ago, about the same time as I retired. He and his wife felt called to go and plant themselves in an estate in Leicestershire, a brand new estate where there was no church and nothing going on. And they have bought a house there and are working within that community, doing something new to reach out with the gospel to the people there. Another type of mission. What about here? What about Pulborough? What about the villages that some of you live in? We're not all called to great big missions. We're not all called to go abroad and spend our lives in the service of the Lord in foreign parts. But we are all called to be missional. It's a fundamental command of Jesus to us. And it's a key part, I think, of being a Baptist Christian. So often I come across folks in church who say it's somebody else's job to reach out to others. I go to church, I do my bit, but that's it. I believe that that is, if I put it in the modern sense, rubbish. We are called to be missional wherever we are, whatever we're doing. And it's one of the things I love about the Baptist Church. It's one of our principles to be missional, to think about what that means in the context that we're in. No matter our age, our abilities, or what we perceive as our inabilities, we're called to be missional. So let's have a brief look at the passage to see what we might pick up from that, and then we'll use it as a jumping off point. As you may guess, I think the word missional has a simple explanation, but it does take quite a lot of effort to apply well in our lives, and we can often back off from it. But in essence, it means listening to God, taking notice of what God is doing and joining him, getting involved, seeing what it is that he wants us to share and be a part of. It means having a heart for people, which I believe is God's way. His heart for people never stops. He loves every single human being. And he calls us to do the same, even if we find that we possibly didn't like them. I'm sure if I asked for a show of hands, all of us would have people we can remember that we didn't get on well with. But God has a way of changing our heart when we start to get to know them and find out what it is underneath it all that perhaps has held us apart. And then maybe we have an opportunity to share the good news that we hold in our hearts and our minds. So in this passage, we find that Paul has gone back to Tarsus, his hometown, and he's spent some time there. The church has spread out and has reached Antioch. I'm suspecting this is probably Syrian Antioch, although it doesn't actually say so. There were three different Antiochs in the biblical period of the New Testament. And the church, noticing what's going on there, sends one of their mission guys, Barnabas, a guy with a big heart, filled with the Spirit, who goes out there to help them to ground the church, to give it teaching. And so Barnabas goes off, he helps the church there, and then he decides, I'm going to go and find this guy Paul that I met in Jerusalem a few years back, because he seems like the right person to bring back to Antioch and help with the teaching, to give this church foundation. You see, they were going where God wanted them to be, to follow Jesus' call. Paul back to his hometown initially, and then going elsewhere. Matthew 28:19 tells us, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What a beautiful command. And yet so often we put it aside, don't we? Because it seems like hard work. And so there they were, going to where God was calling them to be. And yes, they were going a bit, Paul went home and then left home, went all over the place, Barnabas, it seems, travelled far and wide, building the church of the day. And then if we go a little bit further backwards in Acts, Jesus, before his ascension, says in Acts 1:8, that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. So Jesus is telling us, be missional, go out there and make disciples. Tell them everything I have given you. And when you do that, I'll be with you. The Holy Spirit, my Holy Spirit, will be with you. So you don't have to think you're going to do it on your own. You don't have to think that you have lots and lots of resources already there. You've been trained in a million different ways, and so you're really ready for the job. Just go and do it. And so we find in this passage they've gone to towns initially local to the church, and then because of persecution they'd spread. The Jerusalem church had responded to what was going on, to what God was doing, by sending out people who had some teaching and some understanding, who could grow those churches and could give them a firm foundation. William Barclay, who wrote a whole series of commentaries some years ago now, says, if you look at Barnabas, he is the man with the biggest heart. His heart was for Christ, his heart was for people. And he would go wherever he was called to go. But realizing in this instance the needs that they had, his mind set to Saul, who became Paul. So he went to find him to help with that work, to build the work, to grow it. And so they stayed there for quite a while. They recognized what God was doing. They joined him in it and used the skills that God had developed within them as they went about their work with God to teach, to instruct, but trusting God. And I think if we look at this, there are a few useful things. First of all, this whole being missional bit is all about faith. It's about working with God, being filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit to the things that God wants us to do, just as he led Paul and Barnabas. Working within and under the authority of the church. They weren't like lone rangers charging out into the wild. They were going with the authority of the church. It's one of the reasons why I hold quite firmly to people being part of a church rather than going off and doing their own thing with no covering over them, and they're often wandering into strange places in their theology. Secondly, it means spending time. If you look through the Acts of the Apostles, you'll find that they spent quite a bit of time in each place. There were no hit and runs. They didn't just turn up, put up a tent, have a quick mission, move on. They spent time. They got to know people. They got to see what was going on and spent time with those people, teaching them, encouraging them. And I think that's one of the great gifts all of us have. I know we sometimes think we're too busy. We've got loads of stuff going on, but we all have the same measure of time. We all have choices about how we use that time. The key, as Jesus said, make disciples. Make disciples. That means spending time helping, instructing, perhaps using the wisdom that many of us have gained over years of experience as Christians to help the new Christians to be built, to be encouraged, to be strengthened. Spending time getting to know people and helping them. And thirdly, that whole aspect of teaching builds the solid base that the church needed then and needs today. I think it's very easy today. Somebody said to me actually this week, talking about another quite large church that I know in the Anglican world, we've become very consumerist. We turn up on Sunday to be basically entertained, whether it's an Anglican service, a Baptist service, a URC service, it doesn't matter. Too often, we as human beings have adopted the consumer model. We go, we get fed, we go home, we get on with our life. That's not what Jesus is asking of us. He's asking us to be involved, not just on Sundays, but every moment of every day of our lives. You see, mission takes time. And it takes our desire to spend that time well. So let's have a look and see what mission might mean for us in a little bit more detail. I think it means, in practice, working out what God wants us to do wherever we are. As I said earlier, we're not all called to be William Careys and go off to foreign parts. Most of us will lead our lives as Christians in our local community, working, doing various recreational things, perhaps raising a family, perhaps having grandkids. My wife and I have 7 of those. They keep us very busy. But it's great having the time to sit when they're with us, to have a meal with us quite often. Sometimes they stay overnight, to pray with them and to set the example of grandparents who love God. And it leads to questions because 2 of them certainly don't go to church very often, whereas the other 5 do. But even they have questions. And so we can all set that example within our families. But what does it mean to be missional wherever it is that we are? Some of you will have heard of the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity. They have quite a lovely series of video stroke teaching thingies called Fruitfulness on the Front Line, which I've used over the years since I first discovered it. And I found it's a great encouragement to all of us as Christians that we don't have to have lots and lots and lots of skills that we think others have got. We all have God. We all have the Holy Spirit. We all have a mission context where we work, where we socialize within our families, within the community in which we live. That's what it calls our front line. And let me encourage you, brothers and sisters, to find out what your front line truly is and see what God wants you to do in it, how much of your time he wants you to devote to that. Other churches use material like, I was talking to someone recently who a minister, I know in the Shoreham area, has been using a series from Hope called Talking Jesus. And as a result, they've already seen baptisms as a result of doing that, helping their church to talk Jesus to other people. It's really simple. It's not difficult. It might be a bit embarrassing sometimes, having to talk to somebody or fit a little bit of talking Jesus into a conversation. But we don't have to force it. When I was a minister in Harlow, our church had 3 pubs very close to it. And I had my favourite because they did real ale and I quite like a glass of real ale. And I got well known as the local minister. There wasn't an Anglican church working within 2 miles of us. And so I was the local minister. People would come and talk to us at the bar. My wife and I would chat about what we did. We would talk about our experience of God. We prayed with people at the bar over a pint of beer because that was our mission field. It wasn't just to be there as the minister of the church, but it was to reach out to our community. So we made an effort to get involved, got involved with the local traders, helped put their Christmas tree up at Christmas. They're not difficult things to do once you get involved. And actually, they produce great results. We used to sing carols up in the high street when we lit the Christmas tree up. And people would ask about the church that they didn't even know was there. I know some of you, I heard earlier on, are going to the missional chat that's going to go on this week. Is it 10th? 10th of May, isn't it? It's two Saturdays' time, was it? No, next Saturday. Yeah. SEBA is putting together this thing called Partners in Mission to help churches work out what it is to be missional, what it is to do these things, and what help you might need, because the region has resources. And my hope has always been that the bigger Baptist churches would help the smaller Baptist churches, because usually they have a lot more resources. The church where I attend, St. Margaret's in Angering, has recently used... For the first time in my Christian life, I've been going through Lent with the church because we're in an Anglican church and that's what they do. But the Lent course this year surprised me. They decided they were going to study a book and it's called The Soul-Winning Church. And the 3 ministers of the church had collectively decided that they needed to make the church more outward-looking, more missional in its view, and that was the start of it. they're starting to change the way things work within the church to help this church see that even though they get, I don't know, 150, 200 people in the Sunday morning service, there are a lot more people who need to know Christ. So they shouldn't be sitting comfortably on Sunday mornings being consumers of church. It's very American. I don't always get on with the way they think about things, but there's a lot of good stuff in it. The point I'm making is that to figure out what it means for each of us, we need to put some effort in and think about it, pray about it, maybe use some of the materials available. But don't get me wrong. There's no, if you do it like this, it always works. You have to work out what it is in your context, in your area, in your family, in your workplace, where you socialize. The key is that the greatest resource that God has got is us. Do you ever see yourself as a resource for the gospel? Or do you see it perhaps as somebody else's problem and I don't have that gift? I think sometimes we talk too freely of gifts. Every one of us is gifted with the knowledge of Christ and the filling of the Holy Spirit, so we can all do God's work. John 15:7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Now there's a bit of a hit, isn't it, really? I love that passage. Because what it tells me is that as a Christian, no matter where God places me, no matter what I'm doing, he wants me to be fruitful. He wants me to share what he has given me, a heart for Christ, with anyone that I can. And part of this is being part of a church that encourages us, that helps us to build our own relationship with God through Christ, helps us to be more confident. Perhaps does give us some tools and techniques that help us. Having a place where we can confidently bring those that we reach out to hear the gospel message perhaps again and again, to socialize, realize us Christians are not dragons with three heads. We are ordinary people who love God. We're ordinary people who love them. How many of us, I wonder, have sat down for a few minutes and thought, what has God been doing in my life in the last weeks? Not what did he do 50 years ago or 20 years ago, but what is he doing in my life in the last weeks? What of that might I share with somebody else when that conversation comes up? Or do we just clam up when somebody says, what have you been doing on this weekend? I know one guy who goes out and says, well, I went to church and it was great. Do you want to hear about it? Let's go and get a cup of coffee. You see, it isn't difficult if we actually think about it. And I'm a person in the moment. If the moment arises, I find the right thing just comes. You know, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to be the gift of the talker. We can just ask God, give me the words, help me. So, my last little bit. Mission takes time. We live at a time when instant is the big watchword. We have our mobile phones, our pads, our computers, our televisions. Everything happens now, and we want a result now. We order online. We want it tomorrow. And yet sometimes life's not like that. In fact, most times life's not like that. I know yesterday my wife and I went down into Rustington, and I'm not a great shopper, it has to be said. But my wife hates spending money on clothes. She just will wear things until they're threadbare. Hope she's not going to listen to this. But we were walking through the shops and looking in some of the charity shops. And it took quite a while. And then she saw a dress in one of the charity shops, which she put on, and it looked absolutely stunning. And I know better than to say, why don't you buy it? Because that's almost a no-no before we start. She decided to buy it, and she was out last night at her sister's, her niece's 40th birthday, and her and my daughter and several others of the family were down in Southampton. I took the evening off looking after the dog. But she said, do you know, I'm going to wear that dress. It took her time to find it, took her time to make the decision. But actually, it was the right dress for that moment. And I have a picture of her and her three sisters together at this big function. Absolutely gorgeous. All ladies in their late 60s, early 70s now. But she looked stunning. And I just thought it was worth the effort. It's worth the effort to speak about Jesus to our friends, our neighbours, our loved ones, our work colleagues. But it does take time. We can be totally put off by all of the wonderful things we hear about. I mean, I was reading on the BU site only 2 weeks ago of the number of people across the country baptised over the Easter period. And it can be really off-putting, can't it, when it didn't happen in our church, when we didn't see somebody come to faith over that period. What we don't hear in all of these is how much time was sown, how many activities were done, how many people spent time with their neighbours, their friends, their family to bring those people to faith and see those baptisms come about. Sometimes it is all too easy to be discouraged, and that brings me back as I finish to our friend Habakkuk, who could have been discouraged by all that God he knew was going to do, but instead said, though the fig tree doesn't bud, though there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Paul and Barnabas spent time reaching out. They went where God had called them to be. Their gifts were gifts that God had built within them through their working with him. How prepared are we? How prepared are you in Pulborough here in the villages where you live for whatever God might be doing? Are you looking? Are you opening your eyes to what God is about? Things that happen in the everyday. Do you go places where you meet people? Are you prepared to have that little word ready, that little bit of testimony ready for when the opportunity arises? Do you get up in the morning and ask God, can I have an opportunity today? Will you give me an opportunity? Don't be surprised at what God can do. And I know you have activities here as a church. I'm not going to ask for a hat show of hands, but how often do you invite somebody to it? How often do you think of a neighbour, a friend, a child, a family, and actually invite them? They might say no 10 times in a row, but one day they might say yes. Don't give up. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. John 15:7. Let me just pray. Father God, we know that your heart is for your people to reach out and touch others with your love and your goodness. Help us, Lord, each and every one of us to be a people of mission, a people who want to take the good news of Jesus Christ out to all that we can, to see past our age or lack of age, our infirmities or our health, and understand that each and every one of us is your child. Each one of us has that call to reach out wherever we go, to each opportunity that you give us. And Lord, thank you that you are with us always. Amen.